WRKC is proud to present the second season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our third episode, Frame Shifted.
Ugh, what a night. I'd just come back from the get-together at Glenn's after the Sono case. I had a sour feeling in my stomach and what felt like a mariachi band playing in my head. Most people would attribute it to the alcohol. In actuality, it was a severe overdose of Brody. I walked through the door to my office, shocked to see Deborah sitting peevishly at her desk. I believed it to be the end of a late night. In actuality, it was a very early morning. I didn't bother hanging up my hat or coat. Little things like that lose their pertinence when you feel like, well, how I felt then.
Wow, all it took you was a night, huh? God, look at your new suit. It's ruined.
Hello, Deborah. I'm gonna go inventory the... No calls, okay?
All right. If some young girl calls us and lets us know that her parents have been kidnapped or are in danger of being killed, I'll just tell her, oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. Mr. Flynn can't save your parents' lives because he's sleeping it off. Great press.
I gave Deborah a look that could peel paint off the walls. She took the hint, her stare repaying me in kind. I closed the door that joined the reception area, if you could call it that, with my office. Deborah was right to be cross. I had every intention of putting my head down on my desk and catching up on some overdue sleep, when a brown box tied with a velvet rope caught my attention. Deborah?
What happened? Did you develop a conscience?
I'd be much more insulted by that if it weren't for this. Thank you so much! You didn't have to get me anything.
Huh?
For my birthday! Deborah, this is one of the most thoughtful things anyone—
I have absolutely no idea when your birthday is. Someone came up about an hour ago and left it there.
Oh. All right. As you were.
Have a good nap.
Deborah huffed out of my office. As it was, my birthday isn't for another 3 months. Wishful thinking on my part. As I looked at the box, I couldn't help wondering who it was from. An old client? An anonymous gift from an admirer? I peeled off the wrapping paper and waiting inside was a beautiful amber bottle of 12-year-old scotch. Needless to say, I was pretty excited. I pulled out my cleanest dirty glass, poured myself an ample amount, and slowly sipped. This isn't a pounding drink. This is a leisure drink. After a few moments, the glass was empty. I felt wonderful. A little drunk, but wonderful. Then it hit me a little more than alcohol should. I found my focus whirling around the room, everything going dark and fuzzy. The last thing I remember is smacking my head off my desk.
Harry. Harry!
A vaguely familiar voice woke me up. I lifted my head and was greeted by the young Officer Murphy and a squadron of the city's finest. Them in a blue jewel the size of a 6-month-old baby. Officer Murphy? What's going on?
We were hoping you could tell us.
Understanding started creeping in around the edges of my mind. After a moment, the situation yielded itself to me. Murphy, I have no idea what's going on here, but I swear to God I can explain.
Harry Flynn, you are under arrest for the unlawful seizure of the Madhya Pradesh Sapphire.
Ah, those things are tight. Damn it!
That's kind of the point. Come on, we're taking you down to the station.
They escorted me out of my office, through my building, and down my front steps, parading me about like some kind of caged animal. We reached the squad cars. One of the cops made a show of whipping me into the back seat. Murphy got in the driver's side. The cop who escorted me into the vehicle gracefully thudded into the passenger side. Hey, Murphy, I know it looks bad, but I have an alibi. See, I was...
Harry, I really shouldn't be talking to you right now. Just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Tough break. Several minutes of severely awkward silence flew by. Eventually made it to the precinct. The same wonderful cop who shoved me in the car was in charge of getting me out. Strongman Samson felt the need to shove me one more time in the general vicinity of the doorway. I stumbled in, tripped, and fell directly in front of the city commissioner, a gravel-voiced bulldog of a man named Frank Graham. Morning, Commissioner! Tell me, where do you keep the dogs locked up when they're off their shifts?
Save it, Flynn. Do you know why you're here?
Honestly, no, but I'd be willing to bet it has something to do with that big blue rock on my desk.
This is no time for levity, Flynn. You're being charged with stealing the Madhya Pradesh Sapphire, an item worth millions of dollars. You're looking down the edge of some hard time if you don't cooperate.
And by cooperate, do you mean confess?
In so many words. Let's get you in a booth. Pullman, Harker, take him away.
Two of the boys in blue grabbed me and dragged me down a dank, dirty hallway. They threw me into a room with 3 chairs, a table, a generous amount of coffee, and a mirror that took up 1 wall of the room. I recognized it as the same room they interrogated Donnie Kyle in not 24 hours before. Someone unlocked me from behind. I turned around to see none other than Officer Brody, with an odd, almost sadistic grin on his face. He said nothing, walked to his chair, and sat down. He was shortly joined by Spinelli, who looked at me with sad, incredulous eyes. We all sat down, and I helped myself to some of the coffee they had so graciously provided. Spinelli cleared his throat and read off of the clipboard he'd brought with him.
Name.
Full legal name?
Yeah, that's right. We want your full name. Did he stutter?
No, I just needed some clarification.
Name, please.
Charles Harold Flynn, Jr.
Your first name's not Harry?
No, when I was younger, I wanted to put some distance between my dad and I, so I started going by my middle name.
You can do that? Man, if I would have known that, I would have never used my first name.
Which is?
Merriweather.
Brody, now's not the time. All right, Harry. Brody and I can account for you until approximately 7:40 this morning. The Madhya Pradesh Sapphire was stolen from a museum exhibit not 5 blocks from your establishment at 8 a.m. The man was indistinguishable, apart from a trench coat and a fedora, which I know for a fact you were wearing last night. We received an anonymous tip from a concerned citizen saying someone had been seen climbing up the fire exit into your office, cradling a large bluish gem in their arms. Do you have anything you want to tell us?
Yeah, Flynn. Do you?
I can explain, officers. I had just come
in... Can it with your watery story, Flynn. I have had just about enough of your low-life scumball...
Brody. You have to wait until he says something to come in with a rebuttal.
Ah, understood.
We're still working out the whole good cop, bad cop thing.
Duly noted. Anyway, I was just getting back from Glenn's when I found a container of scotch in my office. I drank a glass and passed out completely. When I came to, Murphy and your boys were standing all around me, and that Maganga sapphire thing was sitting on my desk.
Oh. Now?
Yes.
Nice try, Flynn. You think you can't convince us that a single solitary drink took you out? For crying out loud, your liver probably looks like a demolition site.
As much as I'd hate to say it, Brody's right. There's no possible way a single drink put you out. Harry, your story doesn't hold up. I'm sorry.
Spinelli motioned at the glass. From the other room came the commissioner and D.A. Murdoch. The commissioner had nothing more to say to me. Murdoch, on the other hand...
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. I told you we shouldn't trust these sleazy outsiders. One day they're on your side, and now look.
Murdoch, you have no idea. I was framed.
Oh, that's right. I'm sure we haven't all heard that before.
Listen, buddy. I've been working to protect this city from criminals for 5 years now. More than I can say for you.
Me? I've been breaking my back working to help the city.
Yeah, for the past 3 months. I've done more for the city with my hand tied behind my back.
It seems like you've been working that way, doesn't it? Boozed up shenanigans, dumb luck breaks, and pointless shootouts. The hallmark of a good Harry Flynn case. Why, if my sources are correct, it seems like a huge chunk of your detective work was actually done by a Ms. Carolyn Hammett.
Why you? There was a moment I forgot I was dealing with one of the good guys, and ended up socking Murdoch on the jaw. Carolyn was still a sore subject. Spinelli and Brody were on top of me before I could adjust my stance. Murdoch's whole demeanor changed from enraged to terrified. It took him a moment to gain his fanatical rage back, but when he spoke again, it was with a quiver of fear in his voice. Damn it, I was about to pay for that.
I am a lawman, Mr. Flynn. I enforce the rules, something that you will never be able to understand, guilty or not. Take him to the box.
And there it was. The box was the jail for all sorts of hardened convicts. Murderers, con men, and especially mafia members, which... coincidentally, are exactly the caliber of people I've been putting away for years now. They set my bail to an obscene amount of money I had no idea even existed. Murphy and the strongman from before drove me over. They stripped me out of my street clothes, gave me a dull gray denim shirt and pants combination, searched my possessions, snapped my portrait, and then very roughly threw me into my cell. Panic started in on me. There were a number of people in here who would love nothing more than to see me fry. I looked around at the different cells to see if I could spot any familiar faces.
I'm telling you, when I get out of here, it's gonna be right back to ring training.
No! How do you not understand the cooking method? It is simply one part demi-glaze.
It is not that I do not understand. It is mainly that I do not care all that much, unless it is Italian cuisine.
Hey, Vinny! I think I might have tunneled us a way out!
Shut up, Vito!
And sure enough, I could. I decided that this was all a horrible dream. I just needed to lay down in my bed, face down, until this all goes away.
Hey, Flynn.
Yeah?
Come with me. It's time for your phone call.
Well, looks like I wasn't asleep. I walked down the hall, getting taunted, teased, and badgered by all the inmates, down to the end of the row where a slick black telephone was waiting for me. I only had one hope. I picked up the receiver and dialed. Come on.
Hello?
Deborah?
Absolutely not.
Is this Deborah Sullivan's apartment?
Yes.
Oh, then... who, may I ask, am I talking to?
Jimmy.
Jimmy the Foot?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. What are you doing at Deborah's apartment?
House watching.
House watching?
She's shopping.
What kind of shopping?
Groceries.
Huh, you're not much of a conversationalist, are you?
No.
Hurry it up, bub.
Don't get antsy.
Why would I get antsy?
No, not you, the... never mind. Could you do me a favor?
Depends.
When she comes back, will you tell Deborah that I'm in jail?
Oh, well, all right.
Wait, oh... damn it, there was more! Well, no use crying over spilt milk. That should have been enough information to send Deborah down. The guard looked about ready to press the plunger anyway. The guard walked me through the gauntlet of jeers and taunts back to my cell. I settled in for the night as best as I could, but wasn't about to sleep. I just stared up at the empty cot above me, my mind whirling. I needed to learn what happened, and more importantly, who the hell did it to me?
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Frame Shifted, but first a word from our sponsors.
Mommy, I want a turtle, please!
I'm sorry, Kenny. I just don't have enough money for a pet right now. With our budget, I'm surprised I can put food on the table.
Tired of your child's look of woeful disapproval every time they ask for a pet? Wouldn't it be convenient if there were some way to add a loving little addition to your family without the financial stress? Well, now you can at Big Al's Discount Pet Shack. At Big Al's, you'll find so-so pets at unbeatable prices.
I've always wanted a kangaroo, but I could never afford one, let alone shipping and handling. Big Al sold me one for $1.08. When I got home, I realized it was a greyhound that had been spray-painted and had a blanket staple to its stomach. But at these prices, I just couldn't stay mad.
I just got back from Big Al's. I picked up this little angel there. His name is Chuckles. The prices are so low, I can't ever imagine what... Chuckles? Chuckles, buddy. Oh, God, no! Chuckle, no! No, Chuck! Ah!
I bought a box of kittens used for biochemistry experiments at Big Al's for 34 cents. They all glow in the dark. Which is cool, I guess, but now I have this odd metallic taste in my mouth.
Big Al's Discount Pet Store has been bringing families closer together for almost 3 weeks. Do you remember that mother and son from before? Well, let's see how things are after a visit to Big Al's.
Here you are, Kenny, a brand new turtle.
Yay, I'm gonna name it Squiggles. Mommy?
What is it, honey?
Squiggles is looking kind of floppy.
Let me see that. Good lord, this turtle is dead!
Of course! Big Al's doesn't discriminate. Hurry down, and you'll be able to capitalize on our big bin of unclassified rodents. At 3 cents a pop, you just can't lose. Call 1-800-BIG-AL. That's 1-800-BIG-AL.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
8 straight hours of theorizing and hypothesizing had me coming up blank. In between theories, I had painstakingly memorized every single bump, nook, and cranny of the bunk bed above me. I could see it even when I closed my eyes.
Hey, you, with the face.
Couldn't that describe anybody?
Yeah, most of the time. You just happen to be in the cell next to Donnie Faceless Tremonti.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's not that pretty. Anyway, you've got a visitor.
A visitor? Had Deborah come to bail me out? I grabbed the bars with hurried anticipation, only to see the form of a pot-bellied man in a trench coat and a fedora walk right in front of me. He lit up a cigarette, inhaled, and blew smoke right into my face.
How you doing there, Flinny, old boy?
Chuck? Chuck Hanford?
Bingo. I heard you were in box, so I thought I'd take a trip over. See if I could help a fellow Seamus.
That's all too kind of you. You know what would help? Posting my bail.
Wish I could, stud. Unfortunately, I just got a pretty powerful sucker punch in the wallet.
Really?
Yes, sir. Lost my one and only recurring client, a fellow by the name of Sono.
You were the PI working for Sono?
That's right, and you're the sucker who lost me a cherry gig.
He took another puff of his cigarette and, again, blew it directly in my face.
You know, I was just trying to make a living, and you came in and ruined everything. Mark my words, Harry boy, you should have never crossed me. Have fun in stir!
I nearly hacked up a lung after Hanford had left. He must smoke Turkish cigarettes, because the smell and smoke lingered long after he was gone. You should have never crossed me. Could he have done it? Certainly not below him. To think that Chuck Hanford, a man who had the thought process of an 8-year-old, could frame me for a multi-million-dollar jewelry heist bordered on the fantastic. But under the circumstances, it was the only lead I had. I spent another hour and a half analyzing my bunk, until the guard came by once more.
Bail's been posted. You're free to go.
Really? By who?
Some irritable lady with a nasally voice. Let's go.
Deborah had gotten my message. I had changed back into my streets and was signing all the necessary paperwork when I saw her. She was softly weeping. She dabbed at her eyes gingerly, not wanting to smudge her makeup. Deborah? Deborah, are you all right?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Deborah, I'm touched. I always knew deep down you cared for me. Come here.
Don't touch me!
What?
I'm not crying because I care about you. I'm crying because I just spent all the money I was saving for Jimmy and me to move to Acapulco.
Come on, Deborah. I loaded an inconsolable Deborah up into the car and took off. I dropped her off at her apartment and took off for the office. She deserved a day off. Hell, I'd be an absolute monster not to give her a raise after this. I went up to my office and grabbed the bottle of scotch. I went to throw it out the window, but hesitated. It was 12-year-old scotch, after all. In the end, I figured it wasn't worth it. I did the dark and unspeakable deed of pouring the contents down the gutter and smashing the bottle off the sidewalk below. Wait. Aw, damn it, that was evidence! Well, guess I'm gonna have to do some real detective work. I had a lead, but that was it. I had to confirm it, but the only one who could do that was Deborah. Due to a bit of oversight and an inherent want not to poke the proverbial bear, I didn't ask her anything in the car. I picked up the phone, took a deep breath, and called her up. I was pretty sure this wasn't gonna be pretty.
Hello?
Jimmy?
Flynn?
Yes. Is Deborah out again?
No.
Oh, well, good. Could you put her on?
Sure. Deborah, it's Harry. He wants to talk to you. I'm gonna head out.
All right. Goodbye, my poopsie doodle.
Au revoir, my tootsie wootsie.
Deborah, how are you doing?
Fine, no thanks to you.
That's good. I need you to do me a...
Oh, no. No, no, no. Harry Flynn, no. I coddled you for 3 damn months and just spent my life savings to get you out of jail. No more.
Deborah, please, this is amazingly important. If you do this one thing for me, I'll give you a week off. With pay.
Fine.
The person who brought in the box, what did they look like?
Well, he was wearing a hat and a coat and he was pretty pudgy and he smoked some pretty strong cigarettes. That enough?
More than enough. Thanks, Deborah. You have no idea.
Bye.
Harsh, but helpful. I had a definite suspect. Earlier, I had formulated a plan as to how I'd get Hanford. The last piece of the puzzle was a call to an old friend.
Police Department, Spinelli.
Spinelli, I need you to...
Harry, how'd you get out of jail?
Deborah posted my bail. I need you to do me a favor. Can you get me Chuck Hanford's address?
I'm sorry, Harry, I can't. Technically, that'd be aiding a known felon.
Felon? Spinelli, for God's sakes, you know me. Would you ever think I'd be capable of anything like this? Anything?
Well, no. No, I wouldn't. But I can't give it to you over the phone. We should meet up at Glenn's.
Perfect. What time do you get off? I met with Spinelli later that night. It was drizzling outside. He was dressed in a trench coat and his police hat. Nice and subtle. He handed me a piece of paper folded over square 4 times. I nodded at him and walked to my car. I turned my lights and wipers on full blast. I opened up the piece of paper gently as it was slightly soaked. The pen marks had just begun to bleed, but I could still make out 143 West Yemen. I drove as fast as I could, half blinded by the rain. I was just about to shift into park when I saw Hanford trudge out of his office. He had an umbrella with him, presumably so he could enjoy the cigarette he was smoking. Even through the rain, you could still make out that smoke. He got into a fairly beat-up monstrosity and zoomed off. I tailed him all the way. He pulled in front of a store labeled Apothecary. 2 minutes later, he came out, toting a small gray handkerchief bound together with string. He wasted no time in getting back on the road. Neither did I. When he stopped next, it was in front of an old, worn building with a shiny neon sign saying Liquor Store. Hanford popped in, looking frantically in both directions to see if he was being followed. Good intuition. He was all business tonight, leaving the store and walking towards the adjacent building. I waited until he was well away from my car, turned off the motor, and headed inside. This'll probably be the only time I'll say this, but thank God for those cigarettes. The trail of smoke led me right to him. Third floor, second door, marked M. Newman, P.I. I pulled out my piece and aimed it at the door. I slowly turned the knob and crept inside. Seems Hanford got the drop on me. The barrel of his magnum was kissing my forehead. He motioned for me to go over to the window. When I was clear of the door, he bolted it shut. No interruptions. I noticed the same box with the same velvet ribbon on it in the corner of M. Newman's desk. Before I could observe anything else, Hanford started talking.
Nice try, Flinny. I knew you were trailing me the whole damn time.
Seems I owe you a little credit. Very little.
Save it. Before you know it, you'll be dead, this Newman fellow will be arrested, and I'll be living the good life.
So you're picking off PIs?
Bingo. Without you rival snoops around, I'll be the top of the heap.
Took some real grit to steal that sapphire. I'll give you that. What I don't understand is the alcohol.
What, how I did it?
No. Why you would waste such a good bottle of whiskey?
I'm tired of talking. Let's get down to business.
Wait, Hanford. There's one last thing I should mention.
What?
This. I leapt over the table and punched him directly in the stomach. He returned the favor right in the eye. Half blind, I staggered around the room trying to shoot at Hanford. I missed twice, hitting the window and the bottle of booze. Third time's the charm, hit him square in the right kneecap.
Ah! Oh, when I get my hands on you!
He never got the chance. Officers Spinelli and Murphy kicked the door in and cuffed Hanford. Spinelli? Murphy?
Flynn.
What are you two doing here?
Well, I tailed you, Harry. I had no idea what you're getting into, so I followed you to see what's happening. It's a good thing, huh?
Yeah.
What's that smell?
Well, in the struggle, I shot a bottle full of whiskey. And Hanford smokes Turkish cigarettes all the time.
No, it's not that. No, I know. That's the essence of passion flower.
Passion flower?
Passion flower. They put it in tea to help you sleep. It doesn't do much on its own, but concentrated, it can knock a guy out flat. I dealt with it at my last precinct.
Well, that explains your story. We're going to book Hanford here and call Mr. Newman up. You know, tell him the bad news. Can he come down to the station to testify?
Sure. I've got nothing else to do. Hope Newman's not sore about the office. A short drive down to the precinct and I was feeling on top of the world. As soon as I entered the precinct, Commissioner Graham pardoned me. Murphy called the Newman resident and Spinelli interrogated Hanford. He cracked like an egg. When they left the interrogation room, Hanford nearly rammed me in the head.
You know there's no conclusive evidence for this. No prints, no records, and no tainted booze thanks to you. There's only the testimony of a washed out alcoholic bum. I'll be out in a week, tops. And as soon as I am, I'm gonna make you pay, Flynn.
Hanford was carried out, presumably to jail. I went outside, ready to call it a night, when a cute little mousy-looking brunette tapped me on the shoulder.
Excuse me?
Yes, ma'am. What can I help you with?
Are you Harry Flynn?
Yes, I am. What's it to you?
Oh, Mr. Flynn, I am a huge fan of your work.
Well, at least someone around here is. Thanks.
You're actually the main reason why I became a detective.
Well, that's... What?
Marla Newman, nice to meet you. I was pretty mad coming down here, but it's an absolute honor to have my office be a part of a Harry Flynn shootout. What exactly happened?
Well, it's quite a long story.
How about you and I go discuss it over drinks at Glenn's?
Good Lord, I think I'm in love.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Frame Shifted, was written by Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah Sullivan and Little Boy. Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and Jack. Jennifer Momenzada as Marla Newman and Mother. Drake Nestor as Robert Murdoch, Jimmy Davis, Vito, guard and commercial announcer. Lucas Tomasacci as announcer, Commissioner Graham, Officer Spinelli, Giovanni Colazione, Chuck Hanford, and Quentin. And Mark Zurich as Officer Murphy, Officer Brody, Henri, Vinny, Jimmy the Foot, and Melvin. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of all previous episodes. Tune in next week for another exciting episode of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.